XFM 104.9. It's the Ricky Gervais Show.
With Steve Merchant.
Yeah. So Dermot O'Diddley.
Yes.
3 weeks and weeks, weeks and weeks in a row, he doesn't even turn up. And now suddenly he's all over Breakfast.
I noticed, yeah, he's standing in for the Breakfast Show. Why weren't we asked to do that?
Well,
that's
we
quite
were.
Upsetting. Were we?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, but I don't want to get up that early, do I?
Sure, sure.
I feel a bit hungover today, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's happening? What were you partying last night, were you?
Well, not partying. We just went out for a couple of drinks, then had a meal, and then went to the Borderline and saw about. I'll tell you about that. Good.
You saw a band? That's the first time in years, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Rugby. Yeah, because, no, you know John Sim, the actor?
Not really.
He's in this band, right, called Magic Alex, and it was really good. They're sort of like a friendly Oasis. They got, you know, it's quite Manc sort of feel, but it's really good. Good songs and everything.
Is he the singer?
Yeah, no, he's a guitarist. Nice call. But it was full of actors, because and I felt quite tall.
That's ludicrous, because you're a very short man.
Well, I am. I'm sort of, I was average, but now I'm not, I don't think. 5'8", that's what. But there, I was, like, quite, it was like Lilliput. So I just got to hang out at actors' dudes. Or I'm like, yeah.
This is the reason, because actors are often very, quite handsome people, but yet they're always quite obnoxious.
Yeah, we are.
No, I mean, they're normally quite obnoxious, Rick. Again, you know, you're a good example of that. And yet, I think it must be the small man complex. That's what makes them so obnoxious and so kind of desperate for attention. Didn't realise it before.
Steady on.
Because, of course, I tower above everyone.
You do, don't you?
I'm, for people who don't know, who are listening, I'm 6'7" tall. That's high.
Yeah.
That's
And for people who've never seen him, he doesn't hold it well. It's not like he's a sort of handsome athlete, is it, Carl? He's a bit of a, what do you call him?
Carl, don't answer him.
No.
Don't get drawn into that. You know the game he's playing.
No. Do you know yesterday when you were in the office?
Yeah.
You did a little move, and it reminded me of Blakey.
I hate you, Pilkington.
That's his stance.
Yeah, but even he held it a little bit better, didn't he? Because he was a man, you know, he had a big coat and everything, and a peak cap. But, yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, I've not suffered enough from being freakishly tall. Now, two of my best buddies, live on radio, are just-
It's not just height, though, is it? It's the posture and the face and everything.
But it's got your places, hasn't it?
No? What do you mean it's got me places?
I think people give you a bit more of a chance in your career and stuff, because it's like...
Well, yeah, stacking shelves. Because I can reach to a high level.
Rick, guys, go on.
Well, yeah, but I know you guys are laughing about the height thing, and for those that have only just tuned in, I am 6'7" tall, which is tall, and that's big, and I pride myself on it in a way. You know, I've worked hard, I've not smoked. I ate well, you know.
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment, but obviously I didn't have much involvement in it, I just am. And it's a curse, because mainly the problem is that you can't get stuff. You can't get clothes, you can't get shoes, you know.
Yeah, it's size 14 feet.
Yeah, but it is genuine, and I don't know, I mean, it costs a lot to buy a pair of size 14 shoes. And if you were genuinely poor, I don't know how you'd afford to be tall. Because the clothing costs more, everything costs more.
I've seen this in comics, that you'd actually go to school in a barrel.
Wearing a barrel.
With just braces, it'd just be a barrel, and you'd have sort of flip-flops, and you'd take a mule with you. They all had a mule, didn't they,
people? Always think, like, that you'll be in a pub or something, and people just think they can talk to you about it. They just think, hey, you're lanky, it's just like, because it's like...
But that really annoys you, doesn't it?
Well, it annoys me because it's like they think I should be proud of it. Like,
well, exactly, but they don't think that this is not a disadvantage, this is not a disability, is it? You're taller than most people. It might
it
get
a disability.
If you were 8'3", it'd be slightly disabilitating, you would, you know, but...
Disabilitating?
What?
Disabilitating? Yeah. No, you're a medical man, aren't you? But, no, the point is, it's a disabilitating because when you go on public transport, like if you're on a coach... The only place I can sit on a coach is that seat...
On the driver's lap.
Either on the driver's lap or that seat at the very end.
Yeah.
You know, which sits into the aisle.
Yeah.
That's the only place I can
well,
sit.
You stand up,
some sort of
stand
up. At the back, waving at drivers.
You could drive it from the back.
Here it comes, watch it.
Were you a tall baby? Oh,
Mr. and Mrs. Merchant, you've given birth to a basketball player. Look at his dribble already. Were you a tall baby? Babies aren't tall.
No, at what point did you suddenly, like, Jesus, nothing fits me?
Well, it didn't happen overnight, Carl.
Let's do a little graph. How tall were you at 5?
Oh, I don't know. 3 foot.
3 foot. How tall were you at 12?
6 foot.
6. What are you really?
I don't know, do I? How do I remember? I don't remember this.
Well, when did teachers start calling you Freak Boy and
really,
Lanky?
They didn't. They was, it
didn't they?
So much. It was, no.
You went to a funny school. I went bowling with him once. Well, I'd never been bowling before, and he'd been once before, and he went, let's go to this bowl. We went to a bowling alley, right? And you have to wear these special shoes. Now, they're sort of like pointed things anyway, and they're multicoloured, sort of red and green. Like, they look pretty weird. And the woman said to me, oh, what size? I said, oh, 8. She went, yeah. She went, what size are you? He went, 14. She went, 14. He went, you probably haven't got them. He goes, she goes, yeah, I think we have got one pair. And she put them on the table, and it was like Krusty the Clown. And I just started laughing. They looked so long, and he had to run round this bowling alley in these freaky clown
shoes.
But
they don't look freaky clown like when I'm wearing them, because the rest of me is in proportion to it.
It looked like a little wall bracket.
The one of the worst thing, one of the worst things that happened to me was when I was, like, I don't know, when I was about 16 or something, we went to, it's a fire
there's
alarm
a fire alarm going off.
There's a fire alarm going off.
And the fire light's going off. Yeah. Should we not just should maybe play a record quick and go and check that out?
Wrap it up if you want.
No, not wrap it up. Play a record, I'm gonna go.
No,
see you later.
It's gone off, Rick, it's gone off.
Oh! What, we might have burned down!
Yeah, I think we'd know about it. The flames licking around our ankles would be a clue.
God.
I'm gonna go and investigate. You shouldn't ignore a fire alarm, did ya?
Blimey! We're entertaining the nation.
Oh, look at him, he's scared of fire! The dark is rising. That's a good song, isn't it?
I noticed that your investigating the fire mainly involved wandering out into the office, looking around a bit, then coming back.
Yeah.
What did you find out?
There was no fire.
There was no fire?
No.
Right.
But I learned about it. Imagine that though. Imagine that there's a fire and there's loads of firemen. They go, get back, and you go to the firemen, oh, get back. Oh, look at him.
I would. I'd actually be justified to.
Okay, there's heavy shelling, lads. Retreat. Oh, brack, Sarge. I'm sorry. Brack, Sarge.
Yeah.
There was a fire alarm. I'd never seen it before. A fire thing going off. There was a fire alarm. I thought, oh, let's at least have a look if there's a fire. That's all I thought. See, there's someone official coming in now to tell us we should have been running out.
There's no fire. Well, you can't just stop entertaining, you know, the people of London just because there's a fire.
This isn't the Titanic.
Well,
I don't have to carry on playing.
I don't know. It feels like a bit of a sinking ship, really.
You're right. Nice one. Nice one.
I don't know who I'm taking off then. Probably me.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Listen, let me just tell you briefly. This is another example of how people can just exploit you and make fun of you when you're tall.
Yeah.
I was quite tall. I've always been like about 6'7" for quite a while now. And when I was about 16, I went to a big New Year's celebration in Bristol, where I come from. And everyone kind of congregates in this big sort of part of town, and there's all people dancing around, like in Trafalgar Square. And I was there, and I just picked up a balloon somewhere along the line, one of those kind of helium sort of balloons, and I was holding that, sort of dancing around. And these two girls came up to me, and I was thinking, yeah, okay, you know, it's New Year's Eve, brilliant, you know, that's my kind of party.
Yeah.
And they came up, they went, hey.
Once a year.
And they said, you're going to be here for long? And I went, well, maybe. And they said, it's just that we've arranged to meet back at you in about an hour. I went, what do you mean? I went, well, it's just because we can see you wherever you are. Don't worry, you can move around and stuff. We'll see you with the balloon. Just arranged to meet some friends.
I love that. A landmark.
So, like,
pilots use that. And we're just coming in. There's where we go. When we see Stephen Merchant, we'll be descending to Bristol Temple Mead.
What's really funny is New Year's Eve, Trafalgar Square, you've got a huge column, but they use Steve as, like, the meeting point.
Steve's got a huge column.
Yeah.
How old are you?
29.
So you were just going into out of your teens.
I'm a Virgo.
No.
What?
No. That. No. You don't understand. It's just.
Rick, I thought we discussed about involving cars.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
The management have told us we're just not allowed to do it.
We've had emails from people.
Please don't speak to Carl.
It's cruel.
Exactly.
Yeah. On the cusp.
Can I just make an appeal? I don't want to.
On the cusp, Libra Virgo, he said. Still going through with it. Doesn't know what's going on, does he? Just wave bright objects at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a competition this, Steve.
We have, but before we mention that, can I just ask something? I don't want to exploit our position on the radio.
No.
But I wonder, because I'm very tall, and it's very tricky for me to get size 14 shoes and big clothes and stuff, could I just get people to send some stuff if like, maybe they own a shop which...
Yeah, but it'd be things like homemade clogs
That's
that people have carved out of chunks of wood they found
in the shed. Whatever.
It's not really great.
When I was in America, everyone says to me, like, you go to America...
It was a cool, I made out of my own skin.
When I was in America, everyone told me that it would be, really easy to get big clothes and big shoes and that, because they're all huge and all freaks over there.
All right, steady on.
And I was wandering around New York, and I was going in a few shops, kind of saying, you know, we've got size 14, US 15 shoes, and they were going, no, we want
something. Is that the difference, one?
And they literally were laughing at me. There was a couple of shops where they literally laugh and get, like, someone else in and come and look at the tall, freaky Englishman.
Really?
And then one guy said, oh, I remember we had someone come in here once, and he said he'd been to a shop which sold kind of stuff for really tall people, and And he, I think I can remember the address, and he sort of looked through the sort of telephone directory, and he made a note of it. And I went on the subway, and I went down all the
Lilliput. Street,
and I went, and it took me ages to get there, really hard to find it. And I finally went in there. I've never seen, it was heaving, right, with freaks. It
really?
Was amazing. It was like, they're just kind of gargoyles. It was like something from Lord of the Rings. They were just kind of these tall people and kind of gnarled.
Did they turn around and start bowing to you?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And I went in and I just said, hi, I'm looking for a kind of da-da-da-da sort of thing. The guy went, yeah, sure. And he sort of hobbled off into the darkness and came back with exactly the kind of pair of shoes I wanted. I couldn't believe my luck.
It might be a magic shop.
But it was like that shop in Mr. Ben.
It might have been a dream though, you see. Have you still actually got the shoes?
No.
Because when Mr. Ben sort of like goes back and wakes up next day, he finds like a feather in his pocket where he remembers he was a, you know, a 17th century sort of squire or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The classic episode of Mr. Ben when he becomes a 17th century squire.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Ben learns to play the harpsichord.
But it's like, when Mr. Ben, that black shopkeeper goes, right, are you going to pay for that? You're not just going to go through that door and then have an adventure and come back. Oh, yeah, I am. No, you're not. You're barred.
Yeah.
You just make me sick. We wait nothing from you. Well, I'm not in this for your amusement, Mr. Ben.
Is it only Ben who's got the insider knowledge about the magical doorway? Or
I don't know, because that fella in the fez doesn't seem to have anyone else there.
No, rarely. He's always grinning, though. He knows something.
I'm not sure. It's not a documentary, though, is it? It's a kid show, isn't it?
I can't remember.
No, it's not. It's just a kid show, so anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people make that mistake when they slag off something like Scooby-Doo or Thundercats. It's not really reality. It's just a kid.
Mr. Ben, they were all on drugs, weren't they? Like Magic Roundabout.
My mate fancied Cheetara from Thundercats.
Cheetara. Which one was Cheetara? I quite like She-Wolf.
She's a lovely cat.
Yeah, she was a real dish.
What's the sexiest cartoon?
I'm glad you've asked.
A lot of people say Jessica Rabbit.
They do, and they'd be right to say that, because she's actually human, she's not an animal, which is good.
What?
Isn't she? No, she's a normal woman married to a rabbit.
No, she's not.
Yeah, Jessica Rabbit.
Is that what she got a surname, Rabbit? But
yeah,
she's not actually
she's
a rabbit.
She's married Roger Rabbit, but she's not actually a rabbit, she's a glamorous woman.
Is she?
Yeah, I've never seen it. No, yeah, this is the weird thing about it.
That's weird though, isn't it?
It is weird, the idea of a rabbit having sex with a beautiful woman. That is the weirdest thing about it.
How does that make you feel?
Annoyed, if I'm honest. Yeah. But I bought some bunny ears just after I saw the film.
Oh, hip-hop. You got your hip-hop
track. Oh, yeah, good. No. This album was rated by a lot of people last year. My sources tell me that it's being re-released and re-recorded this year. Anyway, Nerd are the outfit. They're better known as the Neptunes, who are kind of sort of hip-hop R&B producers.
Yeah.
I think this track may have featured on a giveaway CD.
It did.
On the NME.
It did.
Anyway, it's Dynamite. It's from the album In Search Of by Nerd, and it's Bobby James. Play it.
Well, you should tape off the radio, because we're doing lots of features.
Yeah, no, I'll maybe play that again in the future, just tape it off. I'll tell you what, I'll play the whole album over the course of the night, next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we're just I mean, you know, we're going to have us talking, we just go now, and you
can
press play and
record. I mean, we can't advocate you tape it off the radio, because that's breaking.
No, or maybe I'll just do some bootlegs of the, you know, the catalogue, and just sell them
if you want
Camden Market, you
know,
for £4.
Exactly, fine.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't really say that, but...
Warren G is Dr. Dre's cousin, is he, or something?
Warren G, I think, is his cousin, yeah.
But I know he's got a famous brother as well, and I think it's something like Nate Dogg.
It could well be Nate Dogg.
Maybe someone would know that and could email or phone in.
Yeah, or email maybe kind of family.
This is the best thing about being on the radio, I can think of something. There was a competition, right, on Virgin, right? I was listening, Virgin, I think 105.4, no, what is it?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Good station.
And they had a competition, right, and it was to win a trip to America on the Enterprise. It was all about space. And there was one question that had to answer three right, and it was who was the first one into space, Yuri Gagarin, who's done that. And then the third question was how much bigger than the moon is the sun? Is it twice as big or four times as big? And this one went four times as big, went correct. It's not. It's hundreds of times bigger. I can't believe couldn't someone look that up on the internet and how many times bigger is the sun than the moon? It's not four times. It's huge. It's like beach ball to a pea type dimensions.
Which DJ was it? Do you remember on Virgin?
I can't remember, but it was the one on sort of about 11 o'clock.
Oh,
wouldn't
want to be
him. Yeah, he's embarrassed himself. Isn't he? When we do quizzes, we never get anything wrong.
That's true. Enough.
During that track, I'm chilling out. I'm loving it, aren't I? Carl goes, "Do you know how baguettes came about?"
Do you know how baguettes come about?
I went, go on, and Steve went, no, save it.
Wait a minute, though, I'm thinking, Rick, people are going to be desperate to know the answer to that. Why don't we play some ads and some music and stuff?
It's like a cliffhanger.
Exactly. How did baguettes come about?
Whatever he says is going
to
be good,
isn't
it?
Stay tuned to XFM to find out.
Now, most people think we talk rubbish on air.
Yep.
If they could hear the conversations
off
that go on, I know, but Someone just emailed in saying the sun is indeed about 400 times bigger than the moon. Thanks for that. That DJ must have looked it up and said 400 times. That can't be right. It's probably a printing error. Four times. Yeah. Nothing can be 400 times bigger than the moon. Carl went, yeah, but the sun, it's only got a million years, isn't it? I went, what? He went, on that space program, it said that in a million years, the sun will be destroyed. And he said, and then we're all shafted. Right? I went, I laughed. Steve went, no, it's okay. By then, we'll be on another planet.
No, I think that's true. We'll have colonized
right?
other planets.
Carl went, yeah, but there'll be no sun. Steve went, well, there's other suns, which is true. Carl went, well, I went, well, yeah, every star is a sun. Carl went, well, not really. Not really. Don't believe that, do you? And I went, no, it is. The sun is just a star. It's not even a particularly big star. Carl went, well, why didn't they say that instead of worrying me? Instead of worrying me.
In a million years' time. Yeah. I look at Carl, he's been preserved, brought back to life, and is now the ruler of the world.
Just a head in a fish tank. And he speaks like this. I am Pilkington.
The reason you became king of the universe, of course, is because of your fascinating French bread anecdote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on, then. How did baguettes come about? If this is going to be someone cooked a loaf a bit wrong and said, I can still make a sandwich out of it, I'm going to hit you.
No.
Go on, then.
Right. Napoleon, when he was at war and that with Russia. Uh-huh.
1812, yeah.
Yeah, all his soldiers were like, you know, not used to the cold weather and that. So they said, take some clothes in your bag with you because it's going to be
chilly.
nippy yeah. out there. So they put all the clothes in the bag.
Sure.
Did what they were told. Thought, it's Napoleon, for Christ's sake.
No room for any food.
You're joking.
So
couldn't they make some sort of like sandwich?
No, it wouldn't fit because of all the clothes. You had to take extra gear.
Sure, sure.
So, anyway.
I can see where this is going.
Is there a baguette-shaped gap left in their holdall?
They thought, let's make some bread that you can fit down your trouser leg.
What?
That's not true! No, it's not, Carl!
I read it in Euston train station. I was waiting to go back to Manchester.
Where did you read these?
Scrawled on the wall in graffiti.
Yeah. Do you know the was it also meet me here for cock fun at 12 o'clock?
The upper cross sandwich shop, Euston station. It's on the wall.
What do you mean it's on the wall?
Do you know how it says, like, sail on at Dixon's, whatever? Yeah. Next to that, there was, like, a bit of information. Once you've read the stuff on Dixon's...
Baguette information.
There was a big thing about the history of the baguette. I read it and I thought, ah.
we got to make a sandwich we can spit down our trouser leg.
But how can you march and fight with a huge piece of bread down your trouser?
Although, it would be intimidating. You see them coming, you go, sacre bleu, look at the size of them. They're big fellas. Well,
blimey. I can't ever feel that could be a practical joke at your expense.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that.
Well, the Earl of Sandwich...
Do you ever question anything you read? If it's printed up, is that, like, fact for you, then?
Well, it's not funny. I mean, if they were trying to be funny, it's like... It's not, is it? So it's information.
Have you heard us? Things sometimes want to be funny when they're not.
That's exactly what happened with the sandwich. The Earl of Sandwich wanted something he could fit down his pants. And it was those triangle-cut sandwiches wrapped in cling film were perfect. You might be right. You might be right.
I am.
Because the Cornish pasty is so they could drop it down the mines, isn't it? They wrapped it up like meat and vegetables in pastry, and they sort of crimped it, and it was like a little, and they dropped it down the mine. So, yeah, that's how that came about.
And bagels were originally made so that people could play hoopla, but then eat afterwards. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of that. That is true, Carl.
Well, anyway,
call my bluff. Is true.
Yeah,
they're all true.
They're all true.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell your kids that when you have them.
Yeah.
You know, if they're still alive in a million years.
Well, it might be true. Can someone confirm that baguette fact that it was so Napoleon could stick it down his trousers? Not him, his soldiers.
His men.
Yeah.
Fascinating information. Fascinating bread information, Carl.
Well, we've had lots of emails. People, obviously, we inflamed and provoked about the Cornish pasty. I've got a couple of amendments to that. The crusty bit, you know, is actually as a handle, because obviously the mines have dirty hands, and they'd eat all the stuff in the pasty, and they'd be left with this sort of crust, and they could throw that away. Mm-hmm. Also, someone told us that at one end was like apple, so you'd have a little sweet as well.
Little dessert.
So, there you go.
You noticed how, like, over the years we've been doing this, you know, way back when we started XFM, no one ever contributes when we ask about the music, when we ask about hip-hop, or their, you know, opinions on that, anything important.
No.
But start talking about pasties.
Yeah.
We've had about five phone calls.
Yeah. And someone phoned up to confirm that I used to work for Upper Crust. And, basically, Carl got all excited. So it is true. She went, well, I don't know if it's true. I've read the same sign you did, Carl.
Interestingly, there's an email here that says, which basically offers a history of the baguette. Yeah. And, talks about after the revolution, the government decreed that all of France must eat the same bread. And it was up to the bakers to bake this bread of equality. Mm. And then Napoleon kind of, made sure it was a particular, he kind of set in
yeah. Obviously on the bread, you can eat anything you find in the garden. Mm. Frogs, snails, bits of horse,
but
squid.
The interesting thing is, Rick, that there's no mention of sticking it down your trousers whilst going to war.
The French have tried to keep that secret for over 100 years,
it was
Steve.
Only the upper crust people.
Nearly 200 years, that is a top secret. Somehow Euston Station Upper Crust got hold of a document, left behind in an old sea chest, possibly Napoleon's, could have been Josephine's. Unfortunately, jotted it down. He's kicking himself now. Oh, sucker, I cannot believe I left a note. If he talked like that.
He did.
He did that, yeah, he talked English, exactly. But in a very funny French accent.
Do you remember, there was one thing that, talking about funny French accents, you remember Allo Allo?
Yeah.
Remember, it was on about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but they still made, because it was a funny Frenchman, it was that English guy who was posing as a French police officer.
It's very complicated.
He would often walk by, and I remember there was one where he said, I was pissing by the door when I heard the shit.
Oh yeah,
now, that's
passing by the door, passing by the door when I heard a shot.
That's what he's saying. I'm allowed to say that at 2 o'clock because that I'm just saying, I'm talking in a French accent.
Yeah.
I was pissing by the door when I heard a shit.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm speaking French, Carl.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the rule.
Do you know why people tink the glasses before they have a drink?
Why they tink? The verb to tink.
I do know that, Carl. Is it about poison?
It is.
Here we are.
What, would it make a different noise?
Nope.
Brilliant. Go on, explain it.
You explain it, Steve.
No, don't, Steve. You explain it, Carl. Go on. Oh, I've started, so I'll finish. Come on, Carl. Explain why they tink the glasses.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
Only people with money had drinking or something.
That's not one of my film reviews. Years ago. Welcome to History Now. Now, ages ago, only people with money had drinking or something.
Keep going, Carl.
Keep going.
Like spirit and stuff. So they'd it's like businessmen.
It's easy for you to say. This is getting to be cruel, isn't it?
This is amazing.
Yeah, go on.
Why did you open your mouth, Carl? What were you hoping was the best that could happen?
Because you were trying to make me look stupid before with the planet. So I'm.
Whereas you know.
Yeah, go on though, come on. Businessmen with money have got to drink and ching. Okay, so then, with all the drinks.
So they'd nip round to have a chat about the whatever they're earning money with. And they'd say, right, do you want a drink then? And they'd go, oh yeah, that'd be alright. Yeah. So, rather than like, just pouring it out of a bottle into a glass and saying, there you go, it could be going, hang on a minute. It could be poisoning me here and trying to like, nick me business idea.
Yeah.
So what they'd do, it sort of pour a bit of his drink into the other person's glass and you get that tink noise. And that's like cheers, you know.
No, Carl, I just have a slight amendment there. I think what it was you're absolutely right that they would then test each other's drinks to see that show that it wasn't poison. But over the years, that was reduced to just chinking the glasses by way of saying let's not actually bother going through the whole rigmarole. Mm. They just did the chinking of the glasses.
Yeah,
well, I thought
that's good.
It was exhausting though, wasn't it?
I know.
Was it worth it, do you think?
Well, I like that, because people will carry that with them, though. When they do that, they'll think, oh, that bloke's definitely not trying to poison me.
Yeah.
So the horrible thing is that now, when I do the glasses, I can laugh and go, they don't know I've poisoned them.
Exactly.
You should always do the pouring back and forth. It's a shortcut, it's a slippery slope. You know, just be careful. One of my bands of 2001, Ash.
Was it?
Yeah, they've come through. I didn't like them at first. Thought, you know, a bit too lo-fi, but I think they've worked it, they do good songs, they're good performers, and I think they're probably thoroughly nice chaps.
Sure.
Alright?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say hello because we were away for a couple of weeks, we didn't come back and go, oh, we're back, did we? It's like nothing ever happened.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Carl?
Yeah, it's alright.
Lovely, okay, let's crack on.
Good. I went on holiday after Christmas, and so did our mutual friend, Phil Bowker.
Yeah, good man.
He was in Lanzarote and he told me one of the funny. I don't know if I can tell this on the radio. I'll have to say the C word. I'll just go, it's in a sentence, so I just go, you see, when it comes, and you'll know that they're saying a terrible word. Just, you know, didn't want to ruin the anecdote. Anyway, they're walking along one evening in Lanzarote, and there's lots of Brits there, apparently, and Phil overhears a sort of married couple arguing. They're having to go home a bit early, and she's saying to him, she went, for Christ's sake, every time we come out drinking, you always shit yourself. Right?
Wow.
Always, not once. So he's going, oh, I've told you, he said, it's not the drink, it's the weather. She went, the weather. You'll be blaming the food next, you see. I don't think they should have got married.
Wow.
Or when did you think the shitting yourself started? Must have been after the marriage, because if they, you know, you're courting, and you go, went out with Derek again, did you last night? Yeah, how was it? The evening was lovely, the meal was nice, but he shut himself again. That's five dates, five different heaps of shit.
But I think I can change him.
I think I can change him, yeah. It must have happened after the marrying. Or he just might think, oh God, always got to that age where I think, look, I'll just empty it when I get home.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna keep going up and going to the toilet, you know.
It's the ice that does it.
Yeah, Carl is right, I think. It is the ice.
What do you mean?
People forget, you know, they say, oh, don't drink the water when you're on holiday, and they don't, they drink, you know, they buy Evian and stuff.
Oh, I see.
They forget about the ice.
The ice cubes, you're right, in a bar. Made from tap water.
And that can do it, can it?
Yeah. But what, she said every time you're drinking, didn't she?
I assume that she wasn't drinking ice then.
Yeah.
Well, why is it just happened to
him? Let's be honest, everyone that goes on holiday doesn't end up crapping themselves.
Yeah, they usually make it to a toilet.
He does it every time he drinks, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, apparently.
Just don't let him carry the baguettes.
Ah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, Carl comes out with
something. He does now and again,
doesn't
he?
High five, Carl. That was sweet, man.
Yeah,
sweet.
Nice one.
Yeah, respect you.
Right, we've got another feature now.
Yes, this is a feature which we introduced before Christmas, and it was so popular, we brought it into 2002 as well.
Yeah, and we've carried it over with us. It's an interesting thing, and I don't think we'll ever run out of features for it. Go on, then, what's the feature called, Steve?
Brilliantly, it's rather brilliantly called A Song That I Like.
Yeah.
And in it, let me explain.
Go on.
What I do is, in it, I play a song.
What, that you like, or?
That I like.
Oh, right, yeah. So you just pick a few, let me go, I'm going to explain this. All the songs, right, there are, Carl. Steve likes some of them, he doesn't like others.
Exactly.
But for this particular feature, the only songs that will be in this section will be the ones that he likes.
If you think you're going to hear songs that I don't like, you're wrong. Let me clear that up straight away.
Yeah.
Songs that I like.
What song have you chosen to play?
Thank you very much for asking. I have chosen, and it's something I've only been introduced to recently, but I did enjoy it, and it seemed, you know, just felt contemporary. It's Patti Smith and the classic Gloria.
Oh, fantastic.
Gloria by Patti Smith. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I love it.
I've
always been one of my favourite tracks.
And as Carl pointed out, sounds remarkably like, who did you mention?
PJ Harvey. Oh yeah, well yeah, everyone knew that. She was obviously very influenced by her.
That's fine.
That's alright, yeah. That's allowed.
That's cool.
I like PJ Harvey too.
Exactly.
There's enough room for two.
You're absolutely right!
Here we are then.
Let's just take a moment to think about what we've done, you
know? Yeah! Well, it's been good. It's,
yeah, we've enjoyed
ourselves. It's an hour and 20 minutes. We've talked about, shitting yourself.
We talked about pasties.
We've done pasties.
And a number of pastries, actually.
We should have done a competition. Who's the tastiest cartoon ever?
Well, actually,
I threw up Jessica Rabbit.
I've had some people contribute here on email. We've got someone here. Dom has emailed us. He's told us that for him, Daphne from Scooby Doo.
Yeah, popular choice.
And obviously this is one I've never quite understood, Wilma from the Flintstones. I've actually always felt that Wilma, I don't know, I just thought she was a bit...
No, not
bit
Wilma, hungry. Betty, surely.
Yeah, Betty.
Well, this is what I mean, Wilma, I mean, yeah, Betty, surely, but Wilma? No, she's quite homely. But Betty,
oh,
yeah.
Come on, Steve, you wouldn't say no to Wilma.
Yeah, I suppose not.
If it was,
I'd be worried about Fred if he found out.
I'd hate to do it, you know.
I wouldn't want to do it to Fred, he's a good guy.
He is, isn't he? He's a bit of a chump. Whereas Barney, to be honest, I don't think he deserves Betty.
Do they both work in the quarry? Because, I mean, let's be honest, Fred, not a smart man. I mean, he obviously didn't come out of rock school with anything other than a couple of basic O-levels.
I know, but he's a hard-working sound sort of guy.
They got a big house, they got like a TV, they got that bird thing.
Yeah. I mean, be honest, if I was Fred, I would be a little bit disappointed that my kid does nothing, whereas Barney's can lift up sort of tall buildings. Sure. Bam, bam. He's a very strong... you know.
I mean, interestingly, Fred loves his job. He's all yabba-dabba doing at the end of the day.
He does yabba-dabba.
He spent the whole day lifting rocks from one place to another.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take that from that cat, though.
I would.
If a cat picked me up by the scruff neck and put me out, yeah, right, on the doorstep, I'd go mental, I'd get rid of it. It is a saber-toothed tiger, though, Carl, so it could rip him to shreds. It's not like a normal domestic cat you have nowadays.
You know when they go to the drive-in at the beginning?
Yeah.
And they order, maybe some ribs.
Yeah, that huge...
that huge rib, and it tips the car over.
Yeah.
Was that her first day on the job? Because never been ordered before. She'd have realised.
We're out of pig. We've got brontosaurus rib.
Exactly.
He goes, won't that knock the car over?
No, it won't.
I don't know.
Rick, can I tell you now? That was an accident waiting to happen.
It was really, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it did.
Oh dear. Mind you, I went to Texas once, and I had some ribs, and it was like the Flintstones. It was huge. And not only did it look too much like an animal that I couldn't actually eat it, I don't know who could eat it. I mean, seriously, it was 2 foot long.
Yeah.
And all the rib, it was like half a rib cage. And
incredible. My friends lived in Texas for a while, and they once were in a kind of diner, and there was you know those kind of benches that are attached to the table itself, like a kind of picnic bench.
Yeah.
And this huge fat guy came in, he came wobbling, he ordered like this kind of everything you can eat meal, and his fat kind of sort of, you know, it kind
his
of
his big fatty fatness fatted on the fat table.
It wrapped itself around the table and everything. Oh, he was chowing down, and when he tried to leave, the table came up with him.
Oh no!
Imagine that!
I mean, they are fat, aren't they?
They're big people.
They're huge people. But it was that thing we were talking about before, that bloke on Jerry Springer's show, it was like 80 stone, right? Mm. Now, I felt quite sorry for him, he was really sad and he was crying, it is rad, but my point is this, right? When he got to, say, 50 stones,
sure,
didn't he go,
that's too much,
that's
gonna be enough
for it? For a land animal.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's big, isn't it? I mean, I'm getting worried. I'm 13 stone and I'm genuinely getting worried. I'm thinking, oh,
yeah,
God.
When you've got that big, when you've actually got your own mare.
Yeah, yeah. When you have to get in helpers to look what the scale says.
Yeah.
Like they got 4 or 5 people lift up your belly and go, it's 52 stone. You go, that's too much.
Exactly.
That's too, I'm going to only have 9 breakfasts.
When you actually, when you begin to appear on the Ordnance Survey map.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
When you've got your own symbol.
It's like, we can see 2 things from space now, Fatty and Steve Merchant. We'll be landing
right,
that about. Well, no, I'm just saying, at all, you're not fat, aren't you? You're freakish and big.
Just another quick thought. Someone's mentioned Daphne from Scooby-Doo, and I've always had a soft spot for Velma.
Velma.
Because Velma's
got
glasses. I mean, I'd have
she's clever.
Can I tell you what would have happened if I was in that environment? I was maybe on the
Michigan. Your glasses machine. Would have got tangled up.
I'd have always had I'd always been making a play for Daphne, right? And Velma would have fancied me, but I kind of always ignored it because I was playing for Daphne. And then when I finally realised it was never going to happen with Daphne, I'd have blown it with Velma.
Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Sometimes those, you know, they might, you know, appreciate honesty and go, listen, I've been hitting on the good-looking one.
Yeah.
Oi, four-eyed.
Yeah.
Do you fancy it, Chubbs?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Let's be honest, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah.
I'm wondering, I don't mean to be libelous, but Velma, she was quite short, the glasses, the short hair.
Lesbian.
Hung around with the dog and
lesbian.
The I'm beginning to wonder if she was, maybe.
Unfortunately, I said lesbian there, and you still carried on with your assessment of what it is to be a lesbian. It's bad enough doing the cliches of having short hair, but you said the dog.
Yeah, well, she hangs around with a dog.
Do lesbians do that?
Well, have you seen some lesbians? They're right dogs. Good night. You see what I've done there?
I was having a cup of tea. 100 Reasons there on XFM 104.9, just gone half 2.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, with Steve Merchant.
Hi.
All right.
Rick, we've got a couple of emails in here, and they're saying they enjoyed your performance over the Christmas period on a programme called 100 Greatest TV Moments.
Yeah.
Did you do an interview or something? What was the deal? I didn't see this.
The Office was in there, wasn't it? And I was interviewed for it.
But what are they talking about? They enjoyed your performance. Come on, tell me.
No, it's the thing that I did on Razzmatazz.
Oh, is this where they found a clip? Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. No, all right, I was in a band and we had one single out or something, and I did one TV appearance when I was about, oh God, and they showed a bit of it, about 7 seconds, me on Razzmatazz. Oh, God.
Razzmatazz, those that don't remember, was like a kind of, I suppose, what was it? Like a kind of CD UK of its time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, oh God. And it was of the time, sort of new romantic.
And they showed a clip of this?
I looked about 10 and about 5 stone with hair and makeup and girly clothes. My sister actually said, I look like Posh Spice.
Brilliant.
Which is, there's a funny story about that, right? Because we were rushed and we had to do this thing and we're meant to take a flight to Newcastle. And
where were you travelling from, London?
Yeah. But we got there and we didn't have tickets, we were told to be there. But the A&R man overslept. Right, for the record company, overslept and it was terrible and we were fretting. And eventually, so it was too late to get the plane, we missed the plane, we had to get a train. And it was really kind of fine, they were back and forth, they're going, yeah, if they come now, we can still do it, we're going to miss it, and this was like a big promotional thing. And we got there, and they went, oh, God, right? And I had this sort of like jumpsuit I was wearing that I'd cut off, put that on backwards.
A jumpsuit?
Yeah. Brilliant. I know, it was
bad. Is
this
what was on the clip?
Yeah. I had that on back to front, and there was no time, and I think I even mimed wrong at one point, and it was awful. But the funny story is this, that when we were there, we didn't have our tickets.
This was at the airport.
We bumped into Bucks Fizz. the guys and girls from Bucks Fizz and their manager, so there's like five of them, right, and there's two of us, and they had five tickets, and Bucks Fizz tried to smuggle us through. And so they went through the things, right, and they went, tickets please, and he just waved five tickets that he had, like that, goes, this is us, right, and they went, well, can I have a look at them, and they went, there's only five here, and they just looked at us and went, sorry lads, we were nearly smuggled through.
By Bobby. Carol.
They couldn't even with their powers, they were the height of their powers.
That was like, was that really, that was they'd like already, make-believe type.
They'd already done making your mind up. I thought if anyone can get us through customs check, it was the Fizz. But even the Fizz
what I like
could
though,
not
that
get
reassures
through.
Me, I have to say, about kind of airplane travel. You know, in these kind of troubled times, it's nice to know that even when someone like Bucks Fizz couldn't get, you know, smuggle someone through.
That's good, because even, you know, the top security man went, hold on, there's five in the Fizz, there's five tickets, those two lads are not going through.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes you more secure about air travel now.
Well, it's lovely if I'm in America, you know, and I see five star, trying to get through customs.
With two other lads.
Exactly, I think, wait a minute, what's going on there? Wait a minute, security guy stopped him, it's fine.
You
know there's only about five in five star.
Oh.
It's lovely to know that.
Yeah.
I love the fact, and did you know the Fizz previous? Is this your first running with the Fizz?
No, they were doing the Taz, same as us. They were doing the old Raz, same
and
as us.
Did you recognise the Fizz and go, oh my god, that's the Fizz, let's try and sneak in with them, or did they recognise you? How did it work?
They wouldn't have recognised us.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. I love the audacity of going up to Bucks Fizz and saying, try and smuggle us in. Can you try and break aviation law for us?
Now it's time to make your mind up. We're going to the land of make-believe. I did that and they laughed, they went brilliant. Yeah. We'll get you through, lads.
Yeah.
Just stay tight. I was actually on top of Bobby's shoulders in a long coat.
Lovely.
Yeah, but Bill...
Well, seriously though, I don't understand what their plan was to see.
Like, they would have gone, yep, through.
It's the Fizz, let them through.
Yeah.
Don't bother checking the...
It's like, we couldn't even get to Newcastle.
Do you think it was wearing your jumpsuit backwards that sort of gave it away?
Well, no, but see, I didn't have it on then. I was just in series. I just had jeans and a t-shirt then. I didn't even have my hair gelled. I was just like cash.
I thought it looked alright.
Did you?
Did you?
Well, I mean, for
then you
a tight jumpsuit.
Cheekbones.
Brilliant.
I had some cheekbones. Yeah. That was.
If anyone else saw it, or maybe they taped it and they've got a clip, because I'd love to see it. I missed it.
Well, I'll get you one.
If you have it, put it. I tell you what. Why not create a website? And put that clip on there, on a constant loop, and then send the address in and I'll give it out, and people can check it out for themselves.
Yeah, brilliant.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll have to lose weight now.
Yeah.
That film.
Oh, now we come to the feature. We're carrying this over 2002, because it was such a great success.
Everyone's talking about it.
Do you remember I stopped my film reviews, because I'm only doing films I like, and I've done all the films I like. That's where other film reviewers fail.
Sure.
Because they review substandard films.
Exactly.
My average is still 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
And no one's beaten that. Not Barry Norman, not Jonathan Ross. No one's got an average of 9.5 out of 10 for the films they reviewed. So I'm keeping it there. I don't want to drop my standards. Mm. However, that film sounds good. This is where I pick a classic track from a film that I might not have seen, right? But I like the song, I might go and see the film. This is, Almost Famous.
The film was Almost Famous.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, right? But a song, now don't panic, listen without prejudice, this is Elton John, but it's when he was good, okay? When he was a bright, funky, young, Brit glam star, wonderful song. Wonderful tune, wonderful lyrics. It's Tiny Dancer.
That's it, isn't it?
We've had some laughs, haven't we?
We've learned as well, we've been educated as ever.
Yeah, pasties, all that.
We've got baguette information.
We've had features such as, that film sounds good.
Exactly. Song that I like.
Song for the lovers, song for the ladies.
Song for the ladies coming up very shortly. Rick, I was lucky enough this week to go to a exclusive press preview of Britney Spears' forthcoming movie,
Crisscross or yeah. Crossroads. Crossroads, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's not related to the popular TV show.
Right.
Rick, I'm assuming you'd love me to do a little review of it now. I can't, because it's embargoed until March. I can only talk about it in March, otherwise the press people will go crazy.
No, I don't. I wouldn't want you to.
Well, no, I imagine you want to know all about Crossroads.
Not really.
Because I cannot tell you anything.
Well, don't then, I mean, just...
Well, you can ask me questions, you can pump me for information, I cannot tell you anything about it until March.
I would pump you for no reason ever.
No, but Rick...
Certainly not for information.
Carl, doesn't matter what you ask me about Britney Spears' Crossroads, I cannot tell you anything about it. Okay?
Okay.
But seriously, if you want to know the plot or what I think of it, I cannot discuss it. Okay? And if the listeners want to email in questions, they can. I cannot reply.
Okay.
Until March. So, hang on for that. I've seen the film already. I've already seen the film myself in advance of everyone else.
Yeah.
I can't tell anyone about it.
Right.
Until March. That's the kind of excuse.
I'll tell you what, though. Maybe I'll review it in March.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because you haven't seen it, and I have.
Yeah.
But if you want to ask me a question now about it.
Well, that's you in March.
Yeah, but if you wanted to know now, you couldn't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Right. Song for the lovers.
Yeah.
Ladies,
anyway,
sorry.
Song for the ladies this week. I was lucky enough to get given as a Christmas gift the Rolling Stones Complete Singles Collection.
Good present.
Well, that's an absolute joy. And I'd forgotten how brilliant Wild Horses
Great
is,
track.
From the Stones. So I thought I'd play that this week for the ladies. Let's leave them with that.
Jagger and Richards at their best.